Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight, where we're exploring how issues and events connect us to this region. I'm Beth Ruyak. In 2017, it was provocative, and I think you could say hopeful, for the city of Sacramento to say yes to a program out of Richmond, California called Advance Peace, as in push peace forward. In fact, Sacramento became the first city in the country to say yes to this program, but there had been a summer of gun violence then. Five people had been hurt in one day in Meadowview in gang fighting, and if this was a program that could end some of the violence, the reasoning went, city leaders were willing to try it. So 2018 became the first full year of Advance Peace in Sacramento. A progress report has been completed. It's not yet been released to the public, but Sacramento News and Review reporter Scott Thomas Anderson has seen a draft. He's worked through the statistics, and he's here to talk about this reporting. Hi, Scott. Glad to have you here.
Good morning, Beth.
Not just statistics, though, right?
These are human stories. They have a lot to do with all these makeshift memorials we see on sidewalks all over North and South Sacramento and Oak Park, all these funerals for teenagers that happen in the area. So they need to be looked at as more than statistics. They need to be looked at as real people. In a lot of cases, children and teenagers that, you know, are dying.
What is what I'm going to call the impact headline of this progress report?
There's a lot of really interesting and positive statistics in it, but I think the biggest one is every participant so far in the program is still alive, and that includes 35 teenagers. So about 67 young adults and 35 teenagers.
To say that everybody's still alive probably needs some context, because I think most people start out thinking they're going to live through a day and enjoy a day.
Yeah. So Advance Peace looks to identify the most at-risk young people, young adults and teenagers, who are most likely to either be a gang shooter or the victim of a gang shooting, and bring those folks into a program, which they call a fellowship, and provide them with various wraparound services. That's trying to get them employment training. That's trying to get them mental health services, counseling, and just give them mentoring and life skills to put them on a different trajectory.
As part of this progress report, there's the phrase, only six had a new firearm injury. Of all these participants, more than 100, the fact that only six had a firearm injury is highly significant.
It is when you consider that these fellows were carefully picked as the most at-risk young people to die on the streets. Yeah.
So the broad outlines of the Advance Peace program became controversial. If I said things like mentoring or mental health treatment or assistance in education, that all sounds really positive. But there was one word that threw a spin on this for a lot of people, and that word was cash.
Right. So when this program first was discussed in the summer of 2017, it came in front of the city council then. And the mayor's task force on gang prevention had carefully examined and vetted the program at that point. But somehow one element of the program, which involves paying a supportive financial stipend to participants if they make it really far into the program and do really well with turning their lives around. And that stipend is to help with housing, family obligations, and education, things like that. It got labeled as, in sort of broad headlines, as paying criminals not to commit crimes. Or I think one news report referred to it as paying gang members for a ceasefire. And I think those are wildly misleading headlines because, first of all the people that are in the program now, as of the progress report, none had even received the stipend. There's only two people that are under consideration for it right now because they've made that much progress in the program. So it's not like this program is just putting large amounts of cash into people's hands at all. People have to, what they call, map out new life goals and be taking positive steps towards achieving those goals. And then they can get a little financial help. And I think it's also worth mentioning that a lot of these young people live in neighborhoods that have suffered from generations of disinvestment and have high poverty rates. So that's a significant part of the picture, too.
I think it helps to understand how it actually happens on the street. So give me the example of one of the participants and some of the experience over the last year under the Advanced Peace umbrella.
Right. And I think it's important to mention there are other programs and other nonprofits that are doing really great work around at-risk youth and that are have the potential to die in gang violence. But what makes Advanced Peace unique, I believe, is that they identify the most at risk and the ones that probably aren't going to make it in the other programs. Mm-hmm. These are the ones that are pretty far into the life already. And so Advanced Peace assigns them an around-the-clock mentor that works 24/7 if that young person calls them with a problem or is having thoughts of doing something that they know they shouldn't do. And that mentor is going to respond immediately. And we can just see from the progress report some anecdotal stories of mentors intervening and stopping these young people from making a bad decision because they're always available. And you know, one note in the progress report is that they know for sure that they've stopped at least 17 retaliatory shootings just in 2018 mm-hmm. through that kind of outreach.
You quote the example of one of these mentors or life coaches, I mm-hmm. guess you could say, giving this testimonial. You wrote, he got a phone call saying that one of his fellows, and that's the name of the participant, they're called fellows, was walking down a busy known street with a gun in his backpack. He was on a mission to do some damage. I caught up with him. I talked him into my vehicle. I detoured him off his mission. And so the thinking is that the repetitive sort of detouring is the word that's being used, and the incentives of tools for a different life will be able to change some of these people forever from the path they were on.
That's the hope, yeah. And I think if you look at the fact that the program's doing a couple, well, several different things at the same time, it's providing that on-the-spot intervention basically at all times for these young people if they reach out. And then separate from that, it is trying to get them job training. It is trying to get them into better housing. It is trying to get them into counseling. And it is trying to just mentor them into figuring out a different kind of life where that's outside of the gang sphere.
You're listening to Sacramento News and Review reporter Scott Thomas Anderson. We have posted a link to his article that will appear in this week's News and Review, but you can find it at capradio.org/insight. This is a crime deterrent, a gun violence reduction program, but law enforcement isn't fully on board with it. There were a number of people in Sacramento who really objected to it. There were even objections from the Sacramento County Sheriff, Scott Jones. So where is the disconnect in having faith that this will work?
It's new. It's only been done in the city of Richmond. And so even though the numbers in the city of Richmond are amazingly good in terms of a 56% reduction in homicides and gun attacks, it has only been done there. So right now, Sacramento, Stockton are the first two cities to see if that strategy in Richmond can apply to any urban environment with similar results. So I think that's number one, is that it's new. When this was all discussed, Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn was open to it, as long as, I think his words were, as long as it wasn't being seen as just a silver bullet, like the one thing that can stop all these problems from happening. So I think Chief Hahn was publicly somewhat supportive, as long as people were recognizing that certain gang suppression tactics from the police are still going to be necessary to control the violence and killing too.
I think the program has some intriguing names for what are called the touch points, the life map goals, the daily check-ins, we've referenced that, social services navigation, transformative travel, elders circle, elders in the realm of the participant being able to influence and help guide, internship opportunities, a milestone allowance. We're also going to post a link to a past Insight conversation that includes the founder in Richmond, Devon Barone, mm-hmm. talking about the success there. So if only two, you said, are eligible or in the realm of the stipend, what's the incentive been as you read the draft of the report? What's the description from participants for wanting to stay in Advanced Peace?
It sounds like it's that personal interaction. It sounds like it's adult figures, mentor figures, showing these young people that they really care about their lives, that they care about what happens to them, that they're not just a crime statistic to them, that they're not just some statistic that could be going into juvenile hall or the state prison system, that they're real people to them and that their lives, even though they live in very challenged neighborhoods, that their lives matter. So I think that's probably been the biggest incentive so far. And I think more people will get far enough into the program where they may be eligible for those stipends.
Another important headline, though, and I don't want to gloss over this, is that there were no murders of children in the year. In 12 months, no murders of children. Does that mean children related to the fellows, to the participants, or how's that being measured?
Well, so in 2018, the city of Sacramento made it 12 months without having a person under 18 murdered. I think there were a number of really important things going on at the time. One of them is this broad coalition of health professionals and faith leaders and mentors called the Black Child Legacy Campaign. And they were focusing on four different areas, and one of them was child murders. And Advanced Peace has been working in conjunction with them and then also other nonprofits in the area, the various community centers in the city that have different outreach programs for troubled youth. So there's a lot of different people who have done really hard work that have played into that victory of not having any child murders in 2018. But I do think it's worth asking what was different about 2018 than all the previous years when we didn't have that stat. And the one thing that was different was Advanced Peace.
But the truth is that to attribute it to any one program or one factor isn't clear and
it's
can't
not.
Be done.
No, it can't be. And I think there's no way to talk about that statistic without talking about the Black Child Legacy Campaign and just the amazing volume of work they've done.
UC Berkeley has a program that is tracking this program's progress. Are there other trackers, and how is the tracking being done?
Well, so that's new. UC Berkeley just started a scientific statistical analysis of its progress, and we won't have that anytime soon. But I think the next progress report, or potentially the one after that, will finally have a more scientific way to gauge how much progress was made if we're only looking at the numbers. But again, like you said, it's human stories too. So for every time Del Paso Heights, Oak Park, South Sacramento is not having a teenager's funeral, that's probably more important than the numbers. Hmm.
Sacramento's initial commitment to this program was for 4 years, with the agreement that after two, the city manager, Howard Chan, would do a review. In the short term, with this one-year progress report, it has gone to the city council at this point?
They've been briefed on it. It hasn't been put on a public agenda yet where people can see it on the city's website, but the council members have been briefed on it, yeah.
Anything else that stood out to you in looking at the draft of the report that raised questions or made you want to kind of hone in on an area to watch?
I think the fact that the ages, the average ages. So there's the adult fellowship program, which is anyone over 18, and the junior fellowship program, which is 12 to 17. And the average age in the adult program was 24. The average age in the teen program was 15. So even when we're talking about the adult program, we're talking about very young people. Mm-hmm. We're talking about young men who, you know, have a lot of life ahead of them if this program can work for them.
Any dollar figure attached to it? Any price tag in the report?
Well, like you said, you know, the city council committed $1.5 million to get the program off the ground for 4 years, which the city of Sacramento's annual budget's $1 billion. So it's a very, very modest financial investment, but I think it's a very significant political investment in Del Paso Heights, Oak Park, and South Sacramento.
All right, Scott, thanks for joining us. Sounds like we'll be checking in on this one again.
Thanks for having me.
That is Scott Thomas Anderson. We have posted a link to his story about Advance Peace Sacramento 1 year in. It will be in this week's Sacramento News and Review, which is on newsstands later this week. But the link is at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. Da 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 da.